Imagine you build a brilliant AI agent prototype. I mean, it works flawlessly.
Right, the classic honeymoon phase.
Exactly. It costs you a very safe, very reasonable $200 a month at, say, 1,000 daily invocations. Management loves it. They pat you on the back and say, "Great, let's scale this to 100,000 users."
And that is exactly where the panic sets in.
Yeah, because you expect the bill to jump, naturally. But you don't expect it to completely bankrupt your engineering department. Welcome to the deep dive, and a special welcome directly to you, the listener, because today you are the critical third mind in our conversation.
It's great to have you with us.
Our mission for this deep dive, we are exploring Chapter 7 of a May 2026 course on the Gemini Enterprise Agent Platform, and we're focusing on a terrifying reality for any developer or manager, which is scaling an AI agent.
It really is the ultimate moment of truth because, in a lab environment, everything looks manageable. You have controlled inputs, patient testers. But in production, the math just completely breaks down.
Right, a 100x increase in traffic doesn't mean your bill cleanly jumps from $200 to $20,000 a month.
Not at all. It will be exponentially higher. The cost curve is what they call superlinear. The real explosive costs are totally hidden until you actually hit that scale.
Okay, let's unpack this. Why does the math break down? What exactly makes this cost curve so superlinear?
Well, a superlinear cost basically means that as your volume goes up, the cost to process each individual unit of work actually starts increasing as well. It's not a straight, predictable line.
That sounds like a budgeting nightmare.
Oh, it is. And in multi-agent systems, there are three main culprits driving this explosion. First, you have recursive sub-agent loops.
Like when agents get confused and just start talking in circles.
Exactly. They pass a task back and forth infinitely. Second, you have context window growth. And third, retry storms. That's where a failing system violently tries over and over to fix an unfixable error, just burning capacity every single time it fails.
I want to zoom in on that second one, the context window growth, because that feels like a hidden trap. Why does a longer conversation suddenly cost more money per turn?
It comes down to how these large language models fundamentally operate. They don't have intrinsic memory, they are completely stateless.
So they wake up with amnesia every single time you talk to them.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
Yeah.
Every single time a user replies with a new prompt, the system has to take the entire history of the conversation, append the new sentence, and feed that whole massive package back into the model.
Wait, so on turn 20 of a conversation, I'm not just paying for that 20th question.
No, you're paying the provider to reread the previous 19 turns all over again. Every single click costs you more money than the last.
Oh, wow. So a user just casually chatting with your agent for 20 minutes is silently racking up a massive bill just by keeping the tab open? That's a fast track to a very tense meeting with the finance department.
The finance team will absolutely notice. And to defend against this, we have to start tracking completely different metrics.
Right. The traditional one is cost per invocation, which is just taking your total bill and dividing it by how many times you called the model. But the source material says that's dangerously misleading.
It is mathematically true, of course, but operationally, it's practically useless.
It makes me think of a delivery company. Tracking cost per invocation is kind of like tracking every single mile your delivery truck drives. It's a metric, sure, but it doesn't tell you if the truck actually delivered the package.
The delivery truck analogy is perfect. And that brings us to the second vital metric, cost per resolved task.
And there's a third one too, right?
Yeah, cost per active user month, which is really what helps the procurement team do their quarterly forecasting. But cost per resolved task is the big one. It corrects for the incredibly messy reality of production AI.
Meaning it factors in all the chaos.
Exactly. The handoffs between agents, the abandoned conversations where a user just walks away, the retries. It gives you the ratio of what you paid versus the useful outcomes you actually achieved.
Okay, I have to push back a little here though. Isn't cost per resolved task just a polite, highly corporate way of admitting these AI models fail a lot? Like, we couldn't get it right on the first try, so let's invent a new metric to smooth over the errors.
I get why it sounds that way. It's a fair challenge. But I wouldn't call it hiding the failures. I'd call it accounting for reality. We have to remember that generative AI is non-deterministic.
It's unpredictable by nature.
Right. It will hallucinate. External API tools will time out. A human user will type something totally incomprehensible and then just close their browser window. Cost per resolved task is the only number a production owner can genuinely, honestly optimize.
Because if you don't measure resolution, people will just game the system.
Precisely. If you only judge your engineering team on cost per invocation, they're just going to write a script that makes a million incredibly cheap, utterly useless calls to the smallest model available, and then claim they optimize the dashboard.
By holding them to resolve tasks, you force them to account for the actual architecture they built. That makes sense.
And to fix those metrics, the single biggest lever you have is model selection. You don't need a massive, hyper-intelligent model for every single step of a process.
Like mixing Gemini Pro and Flash. The text gave a great example of an invoice processing pipeline.
Yes, if you use Gemini Pro as the main orchestrator, but swap in Gemini Flash for the simpler, repetitive subagent tasks, the savings are staggering.
It dropped a monthly bill from around $2,200 down to just over $700, just by swapping the model for the easy tasks.
Because Flash is roughly 13 times cheaper than Pro for output tokens. In May 2026 pricing, we're talking about on-demand Gemini 3.1 Pro at $2 per million input tokens and $8 per million output.
Well, Flash is what, 15 cents and 60 cents?
Exactly. It's a massive difference. But once you've picked those models, you immediately hit the next major decision point, which is our first real lever of scale. You have to decide exactly how you are going to buy the capacity to run them.
Which brings us to the physics of capacity. Provision throughput versus on-demand pricing. I like to think of it this way. On-demand is essentially like hailing a taxi. You only pay the meter when you are actually in the car moving. But buying provision throughput, or PT, is like leasing a massive commercial truck.
It's yours. But you pay a flat rate regardless of how much you use it.
And for Gemini right now, that's roughly $35,000 a month for a committed unit of 100 tokens per second. That only makes economic sense if you are hauling freight all day, every day.
Deciding between the taxi and the commercial truck really comes down to four critical questions. First, what is your steady state queries per second? If you aren't constantly generating over 50 tokens a second, PT mathematically does not win.
You're just leaving the truck parked with the engine running.
Exactly. Second, how spiky is your traffic? If you only run intensive workloads for 2 hours a day during a morning rush, do not lease the truck.
So what are the other two questions?
Third is, what is your latency floor? Are your application delays actually caused by waiting in the shared cloud on-demand queue, or are they caused by your own clunky internal databases?
Oh, that's a good point, because leasing a faster delivery truck won't help your shipping times if your warehouse is too slow to load the boxes anyway.
Spot on. And the fourth question is where the real world hits the spreadsheet. Is the workload approval currently blocked by procurement?
Because finance teams hate surprises.
They despise unpredictable, usage-based cloud billing. Sometimes the deciding factor isn't the raw math. Finance will happily approve a predictable $35,000 line item, even if on-demand would technically be cheaper on average.
They just want to know exactly what they're paying every month.
What's fascinating here is that buying capacity is only half the battle. You also have to decide where that capacity physically lives in the world.
This is the global versus regional endpoints trap.
Yes. The global endpoint pools capacity from data centers everywhere. It smooths out traffic spikes and gives you incredible availability.
But you give up knowing exactly which physical server processed your prompt. And I spotted a massive trap in the source material here for anyone dealing with strict data residency laws like GDPR.
The compliance audit trap. It's brutal.
Let's say you do everything right. You deploy your front-end agent regionally in Frankfurt for strict compliance. But then, accidentally, a developer calls the global endpoint for the actual inference, the machine learning part.
You've just ruined your entire compliance posture.
Just with one wrong endpoint.
Yeah, because the ML processing location becomes completely unknown. If you have strict compliance needs, you must use the regional endpoint, even if you sacrifice some of that global capacity smoothing.
Okay, so we've locked down where our processing happens. We've decided how we pay for it. Now we need to optimize when the processing actually happens.
Which brings us to lever 3 and 5. Controlling time with batching and auto-scaling. Shifting non-urgent workloads to asynchronous batch prediction is huge.
They offer a 50% per token discount for that, right? With a 24-hour completion SLA.
Yes. And if you combine that 50% discount with the already cheap Gemini Flash model, your input costs drop to an almost absurd $0.075 per million tokens.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The architectural tactic of splitting a task in two.
The synchronous versus asynchronous split.
Yeah. You use the synchronous path for the fast user-facing response. But for all the nice-to-have enrichments, like long-form reports or generating vector embeddings, you push all of that to an asynchronous batch job overnight.
This is a brilliant architectural pattern. But there is a profound human behavioral element blocking it.
Developers don't want to build it.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Most developers will just ship every single feature on the synchronous fast path simply because it is an easier architecture to build. Managing async state and callbacks is hard.
So they just take the easy way out and the company pays the price.
We call that inflated bill the silent cost of simplicity. And for those synchronous tasks, you have to manage the agent runtime autoscaler.
Right, because if you scale to zero, you save on idle costs, but the first user gets hit with startup latency, cold start.
And if you pre-warm instances by setting your minimum replicas to one or more, you stop the latency, but you pay more to just have instances sitting there idle.
But what happens when that synchronous path is active? The autoscaler has spun up maximum instances, and the agents start running in endless circles.
That is the nightmare scenario. And that brings us to guardrails.
We need to talk about stopping runaway trains. Let's look at the incident scenario from the text. Agent A transfers a task to Agent B. Agent B transfers it back to A, over and over.
At 90,000 output tokens a minute, that loop burns $10.08 in just 14 minutes.
And that's only on output token.
Exactly. Doesn't include input tokens or tool fanouts. That's why you cannot treat quotas as one single number. You must have three distinct tiers.
Project level, agent level, and per tenant.
Right. Project level is your absolute ceiling. Agent level stops one bad agent from taking down the system.
And the per tenant limit is absolutely crucial if you're running a multi-tenant SaaS platform.
Life or death for a SaaS company. If one user pastes a logic-breaking prompt that triggers a loop, you cannot let their mistake consume all your capacity and starve out the rest of your customers.
And when a loop does happen, human instinct is totally wrong, isn't it?
Almost always. Mm-hmm. The on-call engineer sees the dashboard lighting up and thinks, oh, we hit a quota. I need to raise the limit so the process can finish.
Which is literally pouring gasoline on a fire.
The immediate reaction must be containment. You throttle the agents. You set concurrent invocations to one. You implement a fail-loud condition, forcing it to crash gracefully instead of silently churning money.
So you stop the bleeding immediately.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it reveals a contrarian angle about scaling AI. People obsess over negotiating the lowest token prices.
Haggling over fractions of a cent.
Yeah, but optimizing the call graph, eliminating redundant tool calls or an always summarized step, saves vastly more money.
So what does this all mean for the listener? It means enforcing accountability. The text talks about a governance lever. You have to make labels mandatory at deployment. Team labels, cost center labels.
Because otherwise finance gets a massive bill with no idea who spent what.
And the best part, if a team deploys an untagged agent, you route all that spend to a highly visible company report called unallocated AI.
Corporate shame is a powerful motivator.
You essentially shame teams into compliance. If their rogue agent burns 10 grand over the weekend, every department head sees it on Monday.
It works much faster than a polite memo. And this intense focus on the efficiency of the call graph perfectly explains why looking at vendor list prices in a vacuum is a dangerous trap.
Right, cross-vendor benchmarking. People love to compare Gemini, Claude, OpenAI just by looking at their pricing pages.
It's completely misguided. List price is only one of four cost dimensions. You also have token efficiency, tool call efficiency, and reasoning quality per dollar.
The text had a great math example for this. Let's say vendor A costs $8 per million output tokens and vendor B costs almost double at $15.
On the surface, vendor A seems like the obvious choice.
But vendor A is super verbose. It averages 2,100 tokens to extract data from an invoice. Vendor B only needs 1,400 tokens.
This raises an important question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you measure true value? If you calculate the raw output cost, vendor A is still technically cheaper.
It's like 1.6 cents versus 2.1 cents per invoice.
Right, but you also have to factor in the first pass success rate, the retries.
Ah, because if vendor A is cheaper per run but fails and has to retry 10% of the time.
Exactly, retries shrink that margin entirely. The rule is absolute. You must benchmark on your real workload with your specific call graph before you negotiate any terms.
Okay, we have covered a massive amount of ground. To wrap this up, our mission was to give you the toolkit to defend your multi-agent economics.
And you are definitely armed now.
From batching tactics to call graph auditing to setting pretenant quotas, you can confidently present this architecture to your CISO and finance teams.
It's all about moving from a lab mindset to a scale mindset.
But before we go, I want to leave you, the listener, with one final provocative thought based on the sources checklist for preview endpoints.
Oh, the preview models.
Yeah, these bleeding edge models often expire every 90 days. And worse, they receive silent updates that completely change how they reason.
They change their verbosity, their output structure, everything.
So we just spent this entire deep dive perfectly optimizing a call graph and token efficiency for today's model. But if that model sunsets in 90 days or silently changes its output structure tomorrow,
all that optimization might just break.
Exactly. Is the true hidden cost of AI at scale not the token price at all, but the inescapable continuous architectural maintenance required just to keep your system standing still? Something for you to think about until next time.